Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Another beautiful day, I am telling you. This is spoiling me. This feels like, yeah, it's fall. It feels like mid-season football. But we are just a couple of days away from the opening game for the Auburn Tigers. What a huge college football weekend. And we want to hear from you. How excited are you about the season, about football? We're wide open. Love to hear from you. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell is here in the building. He will be joining us here just in just a few minutes. Drew is back at the controls. This is a gorgeous. This yep. is perfect. I mean, any kind of outdoor plans, whether it's athletics or, I mean, whatever. This is just great weather.
Yeah, you'd be gardening today probably if you weren't on the IL.
I'd be getting something done.
You'd be doing some serious yard work. I think last week the students, especially the ones that were new to Auburn, you know, may have been traumatized by the heat of especially Monday and Tuesday. Like those were maybe two of the hottest days of the year so far, and they happened to be the first 2 days of the fall semester. It's been some beautiful walk to class weather the last couple of days, and hopefully that continues. I know it can be up and down, especially when you get into September. But you can't
expect this. Actually, I mean, this is very atypical of the of late August, early September weather here,
and some cooler nights too. I think we're in for some nice weather these next couple of days. Not, you know, it's unfortunate, I suppose, that Auburn doesn't have a game
this week.
A game at Jordan-Hare in the next couple of days. They'll be instead dealing with whatever sort of weather they get dealt in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, it still looks like it's going to be hot in Waco. Doesn't look as much of a threat of rain as it had a few days ago. So just be ready for hot. I mean, expected temperature of around 88, 89 at kickoff on Friday evening. So I don't think weather is going to be a factor. I think Auburn's depth could end up being a factor, and we've talked quite a bit about that, about, you know, how deep Auburn is, especially over on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's where I've landed on my prediction, we were talking yesterday about the total at 57.5, you know, nearly a 58 point.
Still feels high.
Some places, yeah, and I think that's sort of counting on sharp offense from both sides, and I think there's reason why you won't see sharp offense on one side or the other, and potentially, you know, both offenses could be removed from their the very best that you're going to see out of them this year. Because with Baylor, yes, Baylor brings back a lot of key pieces from last year, including the quarterback that helped them score all those points the second half of the season. One of his top targets at receiver, Michael Trigg, big time tight end. Folks probably, you know, might remember him. Didn't he play for Lane?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, maybe he was at SC too. Like he's been around, but he's a, you know, we get Jason in here, he'll tell you what kind of recruit Michael Trigg was at the tight end position. A preseason all conference running back. Like they've got weapons.
Yeah, 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah. They've got weapons on offense, but they're facing this Auburn defense. A talented, deep Auburn defense that feels pretty good about what they have at every single spot on the field. And, you know, I think it would be a real accomplishment for Baylor to go out and have a really strong game offensively and put up a bunch of points. There's reason why they may not be able to do that against this Auburn defense.
They feel really good about their offense, though, with those guys coming back and with what they did down the stretch.
And they should.
A year ago.
You know, and I think it's fair to wonder, not to take anything away from what they did in any of those games, You know, would personnel people tell you they played a defense?
Who was the best? Was TCU the best defense they played?
Probably. Texas Tech had some pretty good numbers and some defensive stats. But I think, you know, all told, it's fair to wonder if they're making a step up in competition. And, you know, sometimes what worked at light heavyweight doesn't always work when you jump up a weight class or two. And so that's what the Baylor offense has to deal with. And then for Auburn, I've really started to focus more on this the last couple of days. Just the thought that, like, so much of this Auburn offense is new. Mm-hmm. That if they are sharp on Friday, it would be a real feather in the cap of Hugh Freeze and Jackson Arnold and everyone else who plays a role in what this offense looks like. Because this is the kind of offense with a new quarterback and replacing a player like Jarquez and bringing in two new tackles and bringing in what looks like two of your top three receivers going into the season are guys that came in the transfer portal. Like, this is the kind of offense that would profile as, you know, a work in progress, something that's going to get better and take some time to gel. If it looks good immediately, and I think those are all reasons why maybe it won't. But if it looks good immediately, that's going to be a real tough thing for Baylor to deal with.
Yeah, it will. Now Baylor's got some questions defensively as well. So, I mean, as we said, we were talking more about strength against strength, which appeared to be, you know, Baylor's offense and Auburn's defense. And the questions seem to lay more with Auburn's offense and Baylor's defense. We didn't really talk as much about that. But, I mean, Baylor gave up some points and yards last year, even when they were winning coming down the stretch. And, look, LSU had a very prolific offense a year ago, and they should again this year. So, I mean, they gave up 40-plus there in the bowl game. So, I think you have to look at this as a very, you know, interesting matchup going in. It does appear to be strength against strength, and which of the team's questions are answered, you know, more quickly there in the opening game.
Yeah, thanks for taking. I had a phone call to try to check on something, but
it's Jason Caldwell.
I'm here. You know, you're talking about like questions and. That's college football right now.
Oh,
I mean, it is.
Jason had a great number in his column in what was it?
I just kind of did five storylines coming into the season this year, and the first one is quarterbacks, and you go, because people go like, well, Jackson Arnold,
he's a big question.
You start thinking, you go like, okay, the top eight teams in the country in AP poll, the top eight teams, you have Clemson and Penn State, who have a lot of starts and a lot of experience coming back there. But you start going.
Is LSU in the top eight? Are we talking
about? No, they're not in the top eight.
So they're out.
They're out. There's a couple other teams. LSU, South Carolina are guys. They're just one of your guys.
It's striking. I mean, because your list is about to include the top three teams in the SEC, right?
Yeah. So I'm fixing to go. Texas has two starts. Arch Manning has started two games. Ohio State, zero. Hadn't even really played much. Notre Dame, zero.
The Ohio State quarterback, that's Saban, right?
Yeah, Jim Saban.
That's the one who was going to go to Alabama.
He was at Alabama and left.
Yeah, when Nick Saban stepped in.
Yes, but Notre Dame, zero. Oregon, Dante Moore has started five games, but they were all at UCLA. And he didn't play very much last year at all. Georgia, Gunnar Stockton, one start. Who am I missing? Somebody else. Alabama, none. Yeah.
So your top eight have three games that have been started – by quarterbacks at that current school.
That's it. Other than Clemson and Penn State.
And think about it, too, in contrast to last year, like the way we were talking about those teams. Texas was bringing back Quinn Ewers. Alabama was bringing back Milroe.
Huge
Georgia difference. Georgia was bringing back their quarterback from last year.
Yeah. We were just talking about Beck,
the one who's at Miami.
Yeah. We were just talking about it. It's like you can write down, I'm convinced – you can write down at least one of the top eight teams in the country, in my opinion, is going to flame out.
Because they whiffed a quarterback.
But it happens every year anyway nowadays. But you're talking about now the unknown. And, like, there's as much unknown for those teams as there is anybody, and those are teams that people think are some of – I mean, I've seen people pick Alabama to win the national championship. And you got a guy that hadn't played a game. He hasn't played a meaningful snap, really.
How much of him did you see – pre-Alabama, any?
He's and it's funny because I've heard this because people are going, hey, Ohio State's going to be great because that's a guy that Nick Saban handpicked to be his next quarterback. Well, that guy missed on a bunch of five-star quarterbacks too.
He signed a lot.
He signed a bunch.
That's the thing, yeah.
He got them right.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of them he got wrong. Yeah. Who knows?
You don't have to bat 1,000 to go to the Hall of Fame, though, right, Bill?
No, well, that's it. And exactly here's the thing. Right. And in football, you know you're going you sign enough guys and you'll get the right one. That's the whole point of it. Like people are going, man, they're development. Their development is no different than anybody else. But they just signed more of those guys. Georgia's the same way. Like, hey, Georgia's had a bunch of guys that didn't make it too.
And that strategy
is at a much higher level.
Absolutely.
You know well, that development.
Well, it came back to somebody on the message boards at Auburn Undercovers, like, man, this team just looks so much better. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you recruit really good players.
Yep.
The strength coach is directly tied to how good of the guys you recruit when they come out of high school.
That's the reason, I think, the number one reason for optimism. And even with the caveat that you made an upgrade in the roster from year one to year two, and it didn't necessarily materialize on the field in more wins. But I still think, like, better ingredients, better pizza, right?
It doesn't guarantee it.
No.
Look at A&M. But people forget, too. And I had to be reminded, too. Had A&M beaten Texas last year in the last game of the year, they're in the SEC championship game.
Yep.
They end up losing 4 or 5 games. But you go, like, okay, that's the point.
Auburn stormed the field because it seemed like at kickoff A&M might be a playoff team.
I mean, that's it. And they still in Atlanta if they win that game. So you start to look at it going, yes, much more talented team. My key, the whole thing to me is, for the first time in a long time, it doesn't feel like Auburn has to be perfect to win a game away from Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's felt like that for about 5 years.
Yes.
Where you go like, we better not make any mistakes. Because if you do, like Missouri, they didn't turn it over a bunch, missed a field goal, dropped a pass. But you go like, man, you did everything you needed to do and you still couldn't win. And that wasn't a great team that you played. You go like, that's the whole point of it. Like, sooner or later, can you get talented enough to win the games where you don't play great? And I think they're closer to that right now.
Well, that's what, Alabama and Georgia have done so many times.
That's the key. Because I always go back to there like, man, they don't have those games. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They have those games.
They win them.
But they were able to overcome
them.
Because I think back to Georgia, when Georgia just ran over everybody in, was it 2012 or whatever? What? Not, I mean, 2022, whatever. The worst game they played, they were up 9 on Kent State at halftime. And that Kent State team won 3 games. That's the same game that Auburn played against New Mexico State, but they had a whole lot better players, so it didn't matter.
Kirby's lost. I mentioned this earlier in the week that Kirby's lost one home game since the start of the 2017 season, and people might think, oh, well, that was a national championship caliber Alabama team or LSU team or even like, you know, one of Lane's really good Ole Miss's teams going in there.
It's Tennessee?
Like, it was Will Muschamp's South Carolina team as a 24.5-point underdog going to Georgia and taking advantage of Georgia playing their worst game of the season. Like, so it's not, and certainly Georgia was more talented, you know, as far as a two deep than South Carolina that day. But still, it's a thing that can happen.
And all this is perfect to the point that you made. I mean, there should be reason for optimism because Auburn is better, and they're in as good a shape as far as who their guy is right now as their signal caller. They have there are probably fewer questions. As far as, you know, proven in the
yeah, I mean they're at least right level. There with other teams. They're at least right
and
there.
And they are. And now you look and you see they're, you know, 11, 12 or something like that listed in the blue chip ratio or the, you know, whatever the talent ratio. They have enough talent to be able to compete.
Yes.
It's almost like there'd be way more excitement about Jackson if he'd never played a snap. Of college.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Never
no
question.
Excited about
no question.
Somebody they've never seen
but I would
than somebody they've ever seen fail.
But I would think Auburn is better off because Jackson Arnold went through what he went through at Oklahoma.
No question.
To be the quarterback he is now. But people from the outside, I mean, if he was playing his first snap of college football Friday night, he'd be Buzz Lightyear.
Right? The only game he had played had been the Alabama game.
Shiny
year.
New toy.
Right, but even that, if you said, hey, that guy had been in Oklahoma for 2 years, had redshirted, had been behind another guy, and had not been good enough to win the job, and you got him going.
But he's the same recruit.
Same guy. It would be a very different feel.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Nationally, everywhere. And I do think there's something to be said for failing. And especially, like, here's the thing. He didn't turn it over a bunch. It wasn't those things. It was just they weren't good enough.
If Dylan Gabriel had stayed at Oklahoma last year and Jackson had been behind
him,
right. People would be a lot more excited about him right now.
Yeah, and so you start looking.
He might still be there. Like,
maybe, because they would have said, "Hey, this guy's," you know. And, but you don't ever know how things turn out. But I do think there's, and I think again, you start looking at this team offensively. We'll talk about defense because I think it's a different feel.
Do you want to go to break and then we can get to the
sort of
breakdown?
Yeah, we'll do that.
We're just underway. Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us as usual here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron at 4321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, Drew at the controls. And, we have some news to pass along about something that has been a concern for quite a few folks, including most of us here in this room.
Yeah, this is some breaking news at the top of the show. YouTube TV or Twitter accounts affiliated with YouTube have started responding to inquiries on social media, especially Twitter, and I will read one of the responses. Quote, "We've reached a short-term extension with Fox to avoid service disruption for YouTube TV subscribers while we work on a new agreement. We're committed to advocating on behalf of our members and we'll keep you posted on our progress," unquote. So YouTube announcing that there has been an extension, short-term at least, but that should allow you to watch, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, that should allow you to watch Friday night's Auburn-Baylor game.
And
that action on Saturday, yes, including the Texas-Ohio State game at noon.
All right. Let's see. What else?
I think we were going to
What were we going to get to?
Yeah, we're talking about
it. Oh, you want to mention the captains?
Yeah, let's do that, because there's been some outcry from people going, oh, that there maybe there is a problem at quarterback at Auburn because Jackson Arnold's not a captain.
If there was a problem at quarterback, he would not have been at SEC Media Days first of all.
Nobody named a captain was new to the team.
That's exactly right.
Here's
right?
The other
That's
part.
Exactly four right.
Guys that, Champ Anthony's third year.
Yeah.
The other guys signed with Auburn out of high school. That's a big deal.
Yep.
That's a big deal. Now, Connor Lou's only a third-year guy. But I think you do that, and it's Champ Anthony, the work he's put in rehabbing his injury. I would guess that the other guys, Free said, hey, there are three or four guys mentioned. I would guess Jackson Arnold, Horatio.
Kieron
and
Brandon Frazier would be on my list maybe.
No talking about newer guys.
I just went blank. Hold on. Jeremiah Wright.
Those
would be the guys I would think would probably be the other vote guys. Mm-hmm. So –
Frazier's another one of those 6-year, been here since high school. Everyone on the team.
I think there's other guys, but I think Jackson is a guy that would have gotten other votes. And hey, he might have been in the top four, but I think this was an opportunity to go, look, we're rewarding guys who have been here for a while.
Well, it's a great point that the guys all of the captains, this will be at least their third year at Auburn with Keldrick Falk and Champ Anthony and Connor Lou in their third years. And then Damari in his fourth.
Yes. And I think that's a big deal. I really do. I think it's guys that have invested in the program since we've been here, rewarding those guys. I think that's important. And it's really interesting, too, because I had somebody ask today, like, how many new players? And I started looking, and I went, there's like 43.
A lot.
It's like 43. And somebody's like, wow, I didn't realize it was that many. And then I went and looked. Georgia's got 35. Alabama's got 32 or 33. I mean – and those are teams that have recruited 5-star classes and
year
loaded
after
up
year after year. Yes.
And they're still at that number. It is just the way this game is played now. You're going to bring in some signing classes, and you're going to bring in 10, 12 portal guys, even if you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm. And I think the big question is, who'd you keep, right? And the
That's
fact
it.
That Auburn was able to keep most of the guys who factored in from last year, although there are some new arrivals. Let's look at the offense, the depth chart that we got earlier this week, because I loved.
Steve first?
We got Steve. Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. But Steve's been hanging on since we went to break, so let's get to him on the Drive hotline. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, fellas, so I guess I get to return the open-air antenna that's coming to me from Amazon today, just so I could...
That's one of the good things about ordering there. You know you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I might just keep it in case
you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
That long. So, hey, so going into this Friday, I don't see how we're not favored by 8 points. I mean, you know, this football team is so much better than it was last year, and, I mean... If we turn hurries into sacks, if we go back to traditional Auburn kicking, it doesn't have to be fantastic. We've been spoiled. We were spoiled for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. If we can make 70% of our field goals instead of 48% of our field goals, and if at the end of the day the turnover ratio is even or plus one, we're going to beat them by 20 points. I just don't see where this worry is. I mean – this is a much better team. My analogy is this. I watched an 81 Auburn team that had no talent struggle with a really, really good football coach. I was a freshman in 82 and watched that football team that lost games the year before that they shouldn't have lost find a way to win games. They almost beat Georgia. They beat Alabama. I think this year is an equivalent to the 80, you know, the third year of Coach Dye. He's got his talent. They're not, you know, they're not at the par of Georgia or Alabama yet, but they're close. And I think they're a close-knit football team that's going to go out there and win 9 or 10 games. I'm not worried about Friday night. I'd like to see us be the only game in town and blow them out. I'd like to see Deuce Knight play. I just don't get this being worried about this.
Yeah, I think it's just.
I do.
Yeah. See, I think it's just uncertainty.
I do because of the history. They got to show me. I mean, the other point is, these guys got to show me they know how to win. Nobody on this team has shown me they know how to win yet.
And I think
they got to show me that.
And I think that's exactly where that comes from. Because you look at it and go, I think there's a lot of people that go, hey, I think so, but I got to see it. And so you look at Auburn, was it 2.5 right now?
Yeah.
So you're talking about with a home field that's probably – you're talking about that. That means you're probably a touchdown favorite.
Right.
Which is pretty good. And so you start thinking about a team that can score, though. And you're going, okay, they can score. I mean, this Auburn defense, I think, is going to be really good. But Baylor scored some points. You go, how many does it take for you to cover that?
Scored them again.
I know. But they scored 31 against LSU, who wasn't great.
No, they weren't.
But you're also – here's the thing.
And not to be a downer, but I would put any of those teams up against the Vanderbilt team that came to Auburn and won last year.
Yeah, and they didn't score, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying
they didn't score any points.
But this isn't last year's offense.
Exactly. No, I mean,
we're going to find out whether it's the players or
– And here's the other part, too.
Or the play calling.
The other part is it's year two for them in a system with a bunch of guys back.
Right.
So my guess is they're probably going to be better offensively than they were a year ago would be my guess.
And I don't think it's ever been less helpful to look at last season in college football.
Yeah, about anywhere.
As much as we love using history and using, you know, trying to find trends, and often you are sort of the rolling average of what you've been the last 3 to 5 years. You know, that's a safe bet for a lot of teams. But identities can change. And especially when you're talking about a new quarterback, right? Like, there are so many examples in college and the NFL of, you know, of quarterbacks coming in and raising the dead and, you know, coming in and immediately turning the offense into something special. And, you know, Auburn's got a couple examples of that, right? Of really dynamic first years on campus by quarterbacks. One of those guys is going to get his jersey retired this year. So, I mean, those things can happen. And that, you know, because you see so much quarterback turnover now around the sport, it feels trickier than ever before to rely on what you saw last year to inform your opinion.
Well, there's one statistic that's been very pivotal for the last 30 years, and I know the transfer portal changes everything, but college football teams that have an offensive line that have 100-plus starts win 9 or 10 games. I think in Auburn's history, the times we've got 100-plus starts in the offensive line, we average 10 wins. Mm-hmm. We got 100-plus starts.
We got 150 starts.
Yeah, no, it's
–
I think that group is different. And, yeah, no, there's – I think that and combined with what I believe is going to be a more aggressive defense. I thought they played defense good. I thought they played well last year, but it wasn't a defense that caused havoc It was the defense that said, hey, we're just not going to let you score points. Can you cause havoc and get the ball back to the offense? To me, that's the other part. That's how you go from 7-8 wins to 9-10.
Oh, yeah.
Is getting the ball back to your offense in scoring position defensively, and that's the next step too.
And I think by the time Georgia steps on field, we're gonna realize that Elijah Menendez is the next great linebacker at Auburn. I just have a feeling, based on the kid's high school abilities, where he played, he was a captain in 10th grade, he's an intelligent football player, they're talking him up. I think by the time Georgia gets in, he goes on the field at first, and that's a special, special player. As you said, we haven't had special players. We had a really good football team last year with one special player in Kel and Falk in 15. There's a couple of special players out there now, and I think there's even more on the defensive side that we don't even know about yet. I mean, you potentially got 23 is the first team all SEC player, 15 is the first team all SEC player. Well, he used to be 18. I don't know what he is now. I think he's 8, maybe.
Yeah, Caleb safety. Harris. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Caleb. I'm not sure what number Caleb swapped to. You got. It used to be 16. Now it's 6.
Yeah, DeMarcus.
I got to get my numbers straight. You're talking about five guys that potentially could be first team All SEC and Falk's first team All American. So it's a little different. I've been fooled before. I think that Jackson Arnold is going to play a very, very solid football game. And if he doesn't turn the ball over, we'll be talking about being 4-5-0 when Georgia comes to town. 4-1 or 5-0 when Georgia comes to town. But I could be wrong. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad Fox. I'll have to send that open air TV channel back. I'm glad they came to their senses.
Absolutely, great hearing from you, Steve. That's great stuff.
Thanks, guys.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
I'm at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Jason Caldwell. And again, we'll get to your phone calls, 334-321-1390, the Drive hotline. And let's get back to the phones. And Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I think just going off of what Steve was saying, I think my biggest trepidation is just, you know, every year. I mean, Auburn fans, I don't feel like ask for much. We look for, you know, 8-9 wins and the occasional chance to make it to the playoffs now. And I think, you know, the biggest trepidation I have with this year is, you know, I thought we were going to win 8 last year. And a part of it is I just don't want to get my hopes up because it's just so crushing to have a season in which you just don't do well.
My question is, if you get your hopes up, if you don't get your hopes up and they lose, does it matter? You're still crushed, right?
I'm still not happy.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
That's always my point. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're still going to be upset. You're still going to be upset no matter how you think the game's going to go. You might as well go, hey, I'm excited and ready to go because it's not going to matter. You're still going to be mad.
Don't get me wrong. I'm always excited. Yeah. I just invest too much. I'm invested too much in these 18, 19, 20-plus year olds. Even at my old age, I think we all are, and it's just disappointing. That's all. So, I'm trying to temper my expectations. You know.
Yeah, but you know, I think Jason's right. Here we are, a couple of days away from the opening game, and you know that you have a team that has talent. And it's been disappointing. It has been more than disappointing for the last few years, but there's a chance to really turn things around.
And I thought they could have won 8 games last year, but again,
probably should have.
But it would have, again, all those things going right because they weren't good enough to overcome. And we're talking about Missouri. You didn't make a ton of mistakes in Missouri. Still weren't good enough to overcome it. That's where you go. Can you do those things and win those games, even when you don't play at the top of your game. That's the next step. And if you do that, then you put then you give yourself a chance to win 8, 9, 10 games if things go right.
So let me ask you this: Have you guys done like a walkthrough yet? I'm sorry if I missed it. Of like what you think are wins and losses for this year? Do we have the ability to do that real quick? If I just do like the top games that we'd be on the fence about. So like Baylor, what's everybody's consensus win?
I picked Auburn to win this one, but here I'll go ahead and I honestly have no idea because I just don't know what anybody else says. I mean, like, I don't know how good Alabama, Georgia are going to be. I don't care what people tell me. I don't know. And so it's really hard for me to go down. And I just think I can give you the number. I think 8-4, 9-3 is very realistic. That's, but I don't know that I could go individual games. I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, I would think that 8-4 would probably assume the likeliest. Like, the likeliest losses in an 8-4 schedule, I would think, would be the big two home games and the two road games against A&M and Oklahoma. Like, that's just sort of generalizing.
And that's if you lose all of those.
I'm thinking,
you know.
And that's not
honestly,
a prediction.
Brian, I'm thinking 8-4 should be the floor. This year.
I think you're right there. And I think, honestly, I think you're going to win one of those two. I think you could be 8-4 and still win one of those games.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think, right now, if we can get through the stretch, the first five stretch, I think is really what I'm thinking is going to be our most difficult stretch. And I think if we can get through that 4-1, shoot, I think the sky's the limit. You might end up not 10-2.
Yeah,
but it really comes down. It comes down to me in these first five games, how especially the Oklahoma and the Texas A&M game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hugh Freeze, and we appreciate the phone call. Good stuff, Brian. Like Hugh Freeze has been so he's hammered home the point about the importance of confidence for this team. And I know people have sort of snickered at, he's sandbagging the defense to keep Jackson confident.
They didn't do that in a preseason in this camp.
No,
they went after them defensively.
But I do think, like, in general, he understands that this is a team, and maybe it's because they haven't experienced as much winning as they thought they were going to. Like, this is a team that needs to stay confident through this stretch, and I think a win Friday would really help, and a couple of strong performances at home. And then you're going to Oklahoma feeling like you're on top of the world. But it all starts with Friday night.
Back to the phones, and Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. I heard a podcast or whatever today, a guy who covers Auburn, talking about the last week and a half, he'd heard and seen that James Ash was doing a whole lot better, and I don't know if he's right, wrong, or indifferent, but was saying that he expected him to play more than Zacchaeus Walker, and he went down the list. He even said right now he thought he'd play more than Jay Hardy and others. Jason, have you heard or seen that?
Not really.
What kind of grasp do you think we have beyond Bobby and Malik probably as the first two, I think.
I don't know that we have any idea what a rotation is going to look like until they get going, other than I think there's going to be a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think all those guys are going to play.
Yeah, James Ash, honestly, I mean, I think he could. I don't see him as a guy that's in before those guys right now. Now, he may turn into that guy. I do think a role for him could be maybe third down. I think he could be more of a third down guy. But a guy to watch for me that nobody has mentioned is Darion Smith. Yeah. He's a true freshman, 275 pounds. But on third downs, I could see him on the field for this team.
He's listed on the depth chart at defensive end.
And you could – I could see Keldrick inside and him at one of those defensive end spots where you're still not too small. But Ash is in there. I think Ash – to me, Dallas Walker's a guy that's been the biggest surprise of the whole bunch. I think he's a guy that's going to play more than people think. Ash is there. Jay Hardy's there. I'm just not sure how much we see Zacchaeus. So I think he's going to play. But I do think James Ash could be similar to him. But Jordan Crawford and Malik Alcher are going to play. And then you mentioned the other two. I think we could see eight guys for two spots at some point in that game on Saturday.
Jason, did you say say Dallas Walker was the one?
Yes. You know, he's the one that, you know, you look and he's 363 or whatever. But
yeah.
If he walks by you and you look at him and you go, that guy doesn't look 360. I mean, like, it's proportioned. He's just a big guy. He moves pretty good. He's got some punch to him. I think we saw last year Isaiah Rakes kind of play that role for this team. I think Dallas Walker's a better version of Isaiah Rakes. And Isaiah Rakes was the guy that held up in the middle last year. I think he's a guy that could give you some of the similar things that we saw. Who was the big guy from Alabama that got drafted? And, I mean, he didn't make a whole lot of plays.
Terrence Cody. Yeah.
I think he could be a similar type guy where you go, man, just hold down the middle on first downs.
Yeah.
Goal line, short yardage.
I believe Terrence Cody was arrested for having an alligator in the city of Baltimore, which was against the law.
Yeah.
At the time. I'll double check on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I do think I think Ash is one of the guys that I think there's eight of them that we could see on Friday night playing some sort of role.
Okay, and once again, outside of the starters, who do you think the first two linebackers are?
I would say right now that if it – because here's the thing. Some of it may depend on position and where you are on the field, down in distance. Woodyard and DeMarcus would be the starters. I would go – if it's straight up, I would go Wheatland, Xavier Atkins.
I think Xavier Atkins is going to play a lot.
I would say that would be my next two because Wheatland would be more of a classic middle linebacker guy.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Brett. All right, we'll get one more before our final break. Greg is next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Pretty good. How you been?
Hey, man, it's been a long summer. I don't know. I sit back and I've been listening to y'all and trying to play catch up. We off in the middle of football here, so we finished second last year to Andalusian. We all moved up little juniors. So, only off days I got is Wednesday and Sunday, and I'm all about some football. But I'm telling you, we're trying to, you know, just like with them little kids, you know, you try to preach the hard-nosed mentality. Guys, you was talking about a while ago, whatever happens in this game, you're probably going to be disappointed if you're an Auburn fan because you just been starved so long for just – something confident, something to bounce your way. And, you know, the talent on this roster compared to Baylor, you ought to win. There's no doubt you ought to win. I want to see a solid coach team. I want to see a team with an edge and a chip on the shoulder. When I come up pulling for Auburn, my whole family was Alabama, and I pulled for Auburn just because, you know, I like the underdogs. And, you know, Auburn might get beat, but them boys right there is going to show up. They're going to pop the pads. And I just want to see it. I want to see that mentality come back. I think this younger group that's come in, they don't like to lose. And, you know, kind of what I've heard about some of the upperclassmen last year and stuff, it's just some things didn't bother them as much. And I guess it's coasting through a season. And I just want to see, you know, Auburn old. You know, whether we win, you know, 10 games or we win 7 games, I want to see the Auburn that made me pull for them. And I think this team just needs to learn how to win. We lost some games last year we shouldn't have, but I'm going to say the score on this game, I'm going to say 31-24. Baylor scores late So that's kind of what I'm looking at, and I y'all broke up while I go, but I'm going to get off right here. But what about Jared Smith? I don't know if he had said something. My service was in and out. What are y'all hearing about him and his chances to play? I don't think I seen him on the roster the other day, but yeah, I'm going to be up and listen to you guys.
Good hearing from you, Greg. No, he didn't show up on the three deep that was released the other day, Jason.
Yeah, not there, but I think he's a guy that will get on the field. I think probably – you know, pass rush situations. I don't know, but I could see him, late in the half, where they're trying back throwing the ball, you got a lead, and they're in a 2-minute kind of situation. That's where I see him kind of being involved early. I don't know that we'll see him on the field with first down, where they're running the football, kind of those things. But I think as the season goes on, he'll become more involved because he's a big old guy that has a lot of reach and can get downhill in a hurry rushing the quarterback. And so I do think I could see him on the field a couple of snaps this game. We'll see him a bunch yet, but I do think he's going to be involved.
Appreciate the call, Greg. We'll get to our final break of hour number one, last segment with Jason. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here in hour number one. Before we run out of time, we were gonna get Jason to break down a lot of things, but we got a lot of phone calls. But Jason, just talk about all the stuff that you guys have there at Auburn Undercover and what's coming up here as we head up to kick off and then following.
Yeah, it changes everything a little bit with the Friday night game because normally a Saturday. You don't quite have as much on a game day because there's so many things going on. But Friday's, it's 7 o'clock. And so trying to figure out this week and space things out has been a little bit of a challenge because you're like, hey, you got to speed everything up a little bit. But tons of things up. We have all kinds of stories, videos. We'll have podcasts tomorrow, myself and Nathan King, kind of going over our thoughts on this game as well. So you can find that on our YouTube page or on podcasts. And then previews. Getting ready for this one, opponent preview from the Baylor side as well, and then have coverage from Waco. So we'll be out there in full force, videos, photos, all the thoughts from Friday night, and then see if we can come home, bring everybody back home happy. That'd be nice.
All right, let's get back to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. I think it was kind of funny. I was listening to Brett this week, and he was making fun of me when I went down to Biloxi and put my bet on the Baylor game with Auburn +1, and he was talking about wanting to be my bookie. But then he comes back and says how their defense, after he did research, they don't really have any great players, and which is my whole basis for that thought. And so I wanted to ask Jason, just think about this. Which player on Baylor's defense would you trade for a player at just position by position? Which player do they have that you would rather have than any of us?
Who from Baylor's defense would start for Auburn's defense?
Yeah,
yes.
The problem is I haven't seen any of them, and so that's the thing. I think they got a couple of transfer guys that could be good, but the issue is that Baylor's defense doesn't play Auburn's defense. So that's the hard part when you're going like Baylor. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
How many Auburn offensive guys would you trade for Baylor's offense? Because there's some. Auburn's offense is talented, but so is Baylor.
I feel pretty confident. Because I think that if you went ultimately position by position, it would probably be advantage Auburn.
But it wouldn't be a runaway. I think it would be on defense.
Keaton Thomas is more proven as a linebacker than anyone on Auburn's team.
He's the position for
first team all conference. Baylor. Linebacker, he's on the Nagurski list and stuff like that. Like they have one, and on defense, that's probably it. I guess you could consider the punter player,
but like interior defensive line, like
Jackie Marshall.
They got some guys, and you go like, Auburn has guys I think are going to be really good, but we haven't seen them other than we've seen guys make a play here or there. Malik Lockton made plays as a freshman last year. I think there'd be 18 of 22, I think, would be Auburn. But you look at an offense that has redshirt seniors. Like I think 8 of the 11 starters on Baylor's offense are redshirt seniors. 2 of them are redshirt juniors. Playing at home. I disagree earlier. If Auburn wins this game by 20, then you go, okay, better stand up and take notice.
Yeah, we're off.
Yes.
Yeah, here we go.
And I think Auburn's winning. I picked Auburn to win. I just don't think it's going to be quite that easy.
Yeah. Well, I got 38-20 is what I'm thinking. But the people that you listen to them and they're like, just how can we lose this game? And we know we can lose this game. We saw in the last 2 years we've lost games that there's no way we should have shouldn't have even been close probably some games. So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I just think we're going to put it together. I agree with earlier caller that he was saying 10-2, and I just feel like I think we're going to be 5-1, not 4-1. I think we're going to be 5-1. And I think Georgia's gonna be one of the wins.
Man, just wake me up in October and we're 5-1. I am happy as can be. Exactly. Right now.
Here's the thing, and we saw it last year. Just can you find a way to win?
Yep.
Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter 38-20. Can you find a way? Because that's the most important thing. Most important thing is, like, can you get over that?
Got to get something to be building on
and go. Right, you know, hey, just find a way to win, and doesn't matter what it looks like. And I think that's a big part of this. Can you go out there Friday night, make the plays to win? More importantly, not make the plays to lose.
Right.
That's the key for this one, because I think if you don't do that, if you go, hey, you go make some plays, but don't make the catastrophic mistakes, then I think Auburn wins the game.
Appreciate the call, Pat. Jason, safe trip. You guys are heading out. Well, all you got. You're heading out. Dan's going to be heading out.
It'll be an exodus tomorrow. Right? Yeah, on Thursday. So looking forward to it. Again, I was hoping it was going to be a little cooler. It's going to be a little warm down there on the turf Friday night, but that's okay.
Yeah, hopefully you bring a win back to a cool,
pleasant Labor Day. That would make it all that much better. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Our thanks to Jason for stopping in with us. James, if you can, hang on. We've got top of the hour break coming up. We're back with hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell. Man, that was a fast first hour. And yes, we had plans of getting into, you know, Jason breaking down Auburn, going through the strengths and matchups and things like that, but we were slammed with phone calls, and that is great. We love getting your calls, and you can join in. 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. And if you missed any of Jason in hour number one, make sure you check out the Drive podcast on ESPNAU.com or your favorite podcasting platform.
And we will get right back to the hotline, because James was hanging on when we ran out of time in hour number one. Hey, James, thanks for hanging on.
Hey guys, so let me ask you a question on this. On that one caller that said about Auburn going 10-2, how many call? Who was that said that? Or by how many callers ahead of me said that?
Oh, gee, I'm trying to remember which one of our callers. Hold up the list of callers there, and I'll see if I can remember who it was.
Fascinated to know where James is going with this.
I think Brett. I think, was it Brett or Greg?
No, I think it was Greg.
No, okay.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Greg's spot on, and I agree with what y'all said that last little bit I heard in hour one, but the last caller, too, I agree with him, too, but I definitely agree with Greg. That was my prediction for the year, was 10-2. So, and I think we're going to win some games that people were not expecting us to win. Now, I don't know about the Oklahoma or the Texas A&M game. I think one of those is going to be a toss-up, but I think one of them we're going to win, so... I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah, if you're going to go 10-2, I think you better win one of those games. But yeah, I mean, again, one of the things Jason said early.
You lose them both, but you can't lose any other.
That's exactly
can't
right.
Lose any others.
But one of the things Jason said early, it is such a crazy year. So much depends in this era, so much depends on your quarterback. And, you know, a lot of Auburn fans are concerned about, you know, how much to expect from Jackson Arnold. Well, there's a lot more film to break down on Jackson Arnold than you have on a lot of the other quarterbacks. Jason pointing out, as he wrote earlier today, that of the top eight teams in your preseason AP poll, there are a total of eight starts by those teams' starting quarterbacks. And five of those came from Dante Moore, who's at Oregon, but those starts all came at UCLA. So, I mean, you've got new quarterbacks, unproven. I mean, granted, A lot of them very highly touted, but a lot of unproven quarterbacks all across the country.
I agree. And let me explain something on my 10-2. The reason why I'm not worried about the Jackson Arnold thing is because he has the ability to be a game changer and the playmaker, and I get that. But he don't have to do all that. It's not like it was at Oklahoma where he was the be-all, end-all, and he had to save the day. He ain't got to do that. He's just got to protect the football, manage the game, and get it to the playmakers, and the playmakers will take care of the rest. He can make some plays by himself, but he didn't have to do that all the time. And I think that's what's going to be the difference. So, and that's why I believe the way I believe. So, over the last couple of days, y'all kind of understand where I'm coming from.
I think you're right. I mean, the talent on this roster should not be putting all the pressure on the quarterback. But it's great if you have a quarterback who, when you need it, can make the plays.
See, I'm almost of the opinion, like, the pressure on the quarterback doesn't really change, right? It's just a matter of, like, how much help does he have around him? You know, can you make his job a little bit easier? And one would think that top-tier skill position players and an offensive line that can give him a fighting chance and a quality run game, like, these are sorts of things that make a quarterback shop. If you want to look at that as taking pressure off the quarterback, I think it makes, you know, one would think it makes the quarterback, it gives him genuine firepower, mm-hmm. for this offense. Like, you know, the game manager thing, maybe Auburn has that kind of talent where the tasks for Jackson are.
Of course, I don't know how much of a game manager your quarterback to be when you've got the receiving core that Auburn does that you expect to be making plays.
And I think they're also going to
somebody's got to get them the ball.
Well, and when you run when you're as RPO driven as Hugh Freeze wants it to be too, like it feels like the quarterback run is going to be a big aspect of this offense. And so, yeah, I wonder how much it's a matter of, you know, just push the right buttons and get the ball to the right people, and how much of it's going to be Jackson Arnold taking over and looking like a superstar for this Auburn offense.
I agree. I don't know if y'all saw what Philip Marshall posted the other day. He's confused about why some in the media is saying if, let's say this thing goes to just complete devastation Friday night and we lose the game badly. He's confused why some of the national writers are saying this is free. If Freeze does that, that's his job. And I get the pressure on Freeze, and I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but I do agree with what Philip said. That doesn't mean his job is in jeopardy. It doesn't look good, but that don't mean his job is in jeopardy. Now, if he loses 8 games that way, but not 1 game. So I think the national media has been blowing up things out of proportion all summer long with Freeze.
You know, the thing that's been killing me, we appreciate the phone call, good stuff from James, and the quarterback thing. I saw it again, mentioned it off the air. You know, I read a preview of the Auburn-Baylor game that mentioned, oh, you might see all 3 quarterbacks because Jackson didn't have much of a preseason camp and he's not really running away with the job.
That's not somebody who has been over there.
That's what I mean.
Well, like, you know, watching the practice or talking to the players.
And some of this might be, some of this might be Auburn's own fault because Hugh Freeze has
talked up his backup.
As willing to talk about Ashton and especially Deuce as he's been. But, no, like I said earlier in the week, like, I get the feeling this is going to be Jackson Arnold with a very long leash. I don't expect a rotation at quarterback. I think he's going to be the guy out there. And like, could there be gadget plays for the other guys? Yeah, potentially. But I would think Jackson Arnold's going to be your guy, and a lot of how Auburn looks offensively is going to be related to how he does. Good stuff, though. Appreciate the phone call.
334-321-1390.
We should mention the AU alert that I just just received. Drew got one too as a university employee. Heavy police presence at RBD Library, close to College Street, over by Heyday Market. Avoid the area is the word from Auburn University right now. We know nothing else.
Sure hope, yeah.
But yeah, heavy police presence there, quickly. So all the best. But right now Auburn telling people to avoid the area around the RBD Library.
Yep. All right. Again, we're just underway here in hour number two of the drive. Love to get your thoughts on the game. I mean, if you want to get into, you know, season, we talked about it a little while ago. Yeah. Like Jason said, let's wait and sort of see. We need to see how everybody looks and find out how good everybody is. There are a lot of talented teams there aren't many that don't have some really big question marks. Now, granted, a lot of those teams, as we were talking a few minutes ago, may have inexperienced quarterbacks, but if you've got a lot of talent around them and you've got a track record of producing quarterbacks, then that's good, but it's still no guarantee. Still no guarantee that just because you have someone who was very highly touted that they're going to go out and, you know, be outstanding from the get-go.
And this is where, you know, I keep wondering. It's an interesting question. And it kind of goes back to James's point, right? How much pressure do you, if you're Hugh Freeze, how much do you want to put on Jackson Arnold game one? Like, do you hold back at all and think, okay, well, we need to have him, because this is a quarterback making his first start, maybe we need to emphasize
that is a really good question.
The run game more, or the short pass more, or do you say?
I don't know that Hugh's really ever been one to do that. I think if he feels like he's got a guy and he's got some guys that can make big plays, he wants those big plays.
And I mean, I think when you've looked at Hugh Freeze's usage of quarterbacks in the past, he's been let her rip.
Take those shots.
And I think, yes. I would guess that the approach is going to be and almost to the point where we'll be wondering, like, wow, it's, you really trusted Jackson Arnold to run and throw a lot on. I mean, based on what we've seen in the preseason, sounds like they're gonna trust him to run this offense and run and throw and have, you know, have that RPO option,
make the right read and do the right, you know, do the right thing.
And I think they're working through if this then that, right. If this then that, and if you and that's where, you know, when Hugh Freeze threw his visor a couple weeks ago, the thought was they expect, based on what they've seen, based on, you know, what they believe Jackson can do, they expect quick, correct decisions with the ball pretty much 100% of the time. And I think, you know, how this offense looks, a lot of it's going to depend on how close Jackson's number is to what the coaches are expecting.
Yeah, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love to get your thoughts on that. As we said, I mean, there are a lot of interesting matchups this weekend. And in case you didn't hear earlier, I mean, it's all out there now, but folks that were concerned about being able to watch the ball game because they're YouTube TV subscribers, YouTube TV has reached a short-term agreement with Fox. And that means that I think everything they had planned for this weekend appears to be a go, and that would include Auburn-Baylor, Texas, Ohio State, and as Jason was saying, Utah and UCLA.
That's right. We just got the word at the top of the show that YouTube and Fox have reached an agreement. Folks were making alternate arrangements, understandably, for the opening weekend of the college football season. No need to do that.
I had not ordered my antenna. Like one of the callers, I think Steve had.
And I was unaware of, until this mess started, I was unaware of the new Fox One. Yeah, Fox One, the new streaming service for cord cutters who want access to Fox programming, including Fox Sports.
Well, I think ESPN started theirs this week.
I think Fox News is available on the Fox One service as well. And then, yeah, you've got ESPN's new service.
But that wouldn't help you for Fridays.
Would not get you access to the game on Friday. And there are other streaming services and things you could explore. But the fact is, you don't have to do that if you're a YouTube TV subscriber. It's about, I believe, the numbers around 10 million, I think, folks who in North America who get their cable that way, including both of us. So
yeah,
it's
we're the three of us, as a matter of fact, here in the room.
That's right. Big YouTube TV guys here. So it's good news that Auburn is not going to have to you're not going to have to find alternate methods for watching Auburn and Baylor.
All right, let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
What's up, Hammer?
Hey, afternoon, guys. So here's what I'm thinking. You're on the road, right? And you say, well, defense travels. Mm-hmm. But then how about your offense? How does that travel? And you want to give you're a game plan, a user-friendly thing in the first game. And some of that would include, I would think, trying to just run on the other team. And if you could really pound somebody with your running game, that'd give them a lot to think about, and they wouldn't be too worried about the passing game. You know, that opens up the passing game, that kind of thing.
That's
so
true.
I just wondered, do we have the kind of running game that we could actually give them something to think about?
Well, the offensive line this fall, at least early on, was having more success running than they were throwing. But you also have to look at your opponent and try to determine where are their weaknesses. Can you attack those weaknesses? Are you suited to attack their weaknesses? Now, I mean, if they were, if you didn't have a good running game and their weakness was stopping the run, maybe you'd do that. But you look at Baylor, and their questions appear to be more stopping the pass. They have concerns in their secondary, and it's I think if Auburn likes the numbers that they have up front, then sure they'll run the ball. But I think if Baylor loads the box, and Dave Aranda has been talking an awful lot about we've got to stop their running game. If they load the box, if they overload up front, I'd be shocked if you don't see Jackson Arnold looking to take advantage of the advantage they have in the matchups with our wide receivers against their secondary.
Okay, well, then let's pass on.
Well, I mean, you've got to do. I mean, that's what the RPO is all about. I mean, it's like read the defense, see where the strengths and weaknesses are, and go after their weaknesses. And that's where you hope that you're balanced enough that you can run when that is what they're giving you, or they appear to not be strong. But then when they overplay the run, that you can take advantage by throwing.
That's the chess match. That's the exciting part of this matchup between Dave Aranda and Hugh Freeze is Hugh Freeze's formation shows pass. You know, what does Dave Aranda do in response, and then what does Hugh Freeze do in response to that, and then what happens when they snap the ball? Do they actually throw it, or is it a run? And you know, Hugh Freeze mentioned on Monday, Dave Aranda's great at disguising.
Yes, it's simulated looks. It looks where it appears to be one thing and it's something else.
Yeah, and your quarterback might not be sure where the blitz is coming from, or if the blitz is coming at all, and so you got to account for that. And that's stuff where I think especially with Jackson Arnold making his first career start at Auburn on the road, if you're Aranda, you're trying to do everything you can to rattle his cage. While also accounting for the fact that if Auburn, and I think this is where Dave Aranda's right, is that if Baylor's overloading to stop the run and Auburn can still run, this game's over.
They have no chance.
Yeah, this game's over. Right. And so, you probably need to try to do what you can to make Auburn one-dimensional while still feeling good about your ability to defend that one dimension.
Yeah, first down, Yellowhammer, first down is so important. I mean, Hugh Freeze has said, if Auburn can get second and six, if they get 4 yards or more on first down, then they hold all the cards. They can do so many different things. The last couple of years have been way too many times when it's second and long, because that makes it much more likely it's going to be third and long. Then everybody knows what should be coming.
Third and long is a bad deal.
Yes.
I hope we don't see
bad deal for
those.
Offense. But the other thing that Auburn's got to do is Auburn's got to get better on third and long defensively. Auburn at times gave up some big plays on third and long last year.
Okay, well, thank you much. Bye.
Appreciate it, Yellowhammer. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. You can join in 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan. Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday. Bill and Dan in the studio, Drew at the controls. We had Susan on the line. Lost her. Susan, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We will move on. And Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Good, good.
Well, I'm doing better. I mean, I look down at my knee, and it's like, no, I'm not completely fine, but I'm better.
You're doing pretty good, Bill. You're off the disabled list.
Hey, I have moved from walker to cane, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you'll make it then. You'll make it. Well, continued progress to you.
I appreciate it.
So is the, Bill, is the semi-truck en route to Texas?
It should be. The team is leaving tomorrow. So, yeah, usually, as you know, that everything should have been packed and ready to go after practice today. I have not seen any indication of that.
Don't they try to make it like an overnight deal on some of these trips to avoid the worst traffic? So maybe they left late last night and they're
they should be gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's about, I would guess it's about 15 hours if you do it in one day to Waco, but yeah, I don't know for sure, but you don't have an answer there as far as, you know, what you're looking for.
I'm always fascinated when the big RV, I mean, the semis trailing out, you know, with the equipment, you know, it just gets you really excited. Mm-hmm. Well, we're 48 hours away. are the travel plans, is the team heading out of Montgomery, Atlanta? Do we know?
You know, I don't know. I believe somebody was saying the reverse Tiger Walk should be sometime around midday tomorrow, but I'm not sure, you know, where they're headed when they leave Auburn.
Very interested in the logistics of this trip to Waco.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. Well, speaking of the game itself, you know, as you guys, I've been pretty reserved about this team, rooting for them, but just kind of wait and see, you know, because we've all been through so much these last 4 or 5 years. So I'm thinking Coach Hugh Freeze is not going to hold back anything. There's no reason to hold back anything with this offense.
No. I mean, who are you saving? You're definitely not saving it for the next two games.
No. I think you're going to see the whole bag of tricks. That's my thought with this quarterback. You know, this is his quarterback. You know, there's no reason to hold back against Baylor. You know, I don't see it man for man. I know Baylor's got a lot of upperclassmen, but, you know, Coach Freeze is going to have to utilize all of his skill sets, including the receivers, the backs, whatever. I think you're going to see him call a full game come Friday. That's my thinking. What do you guys think?
No, I agree. And Jason said something earlier that I also agree with and am looking forward to. I think you're going to see a more aggressive Auburn defense. I think last year the players were learning his system. And look, Auburn made plays for the most part when they needed to keep teams from scoring. But they weren't the greatest at third down defense, but and they really didn't force turnovers. I think that is something that they've emphasized much more, and I think you're going to see an aggressive defense, and that usually don't expect to see a passive offense if you've got an aggressive defense.
Oh yeah. Well, you know. And I think our depth on defense is going to really play a part. I don't know what Baylor has. I understand they got some pretty, skilled players up front.
Yeah.
But I believe.
I think Auburn's got more of them, Jeff. And the fact that, Jason was lamenting because he's going to be on the field. I mean, it's going to be in the mid-90s on Friday. And it's still going to be in the upper 80s at kickoff. And with artificial turf, that's going to mean it's going to be 100-plus down on the field. And I think that's where Auburn's depth, especially there on that defensive side, could be a big, big factor.
Oh, yeah. You know, especially Texas. I mean, you're talking about humidity, everything. So you got to be prepared to play as many players as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a basketball game. You know, coach used to tell us, give me all you can, and when you get tired, I'll sub you out. I think that has to be the mentality. You know, we have this depth and this skill set. No reason not to use it. You know, and the results will speak for himself. But I see Coach really calling a full game plan come Friday night. So we'll see.
Yep, can't wait. I mean, it's getting, thank goodness, it's getting closer. You're right, it's, 49 and a half hours till kickoff.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, it's making me miss my rival football game, high school game.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Yeah, I'm torn playing our rival. I'll tell you this, the two twins, I know you guys talk about them, the Smith boys.
Mm-hmm, right.
I'm alumnus. They're alumnus of my high school.
Oh, cool.
We're playing our rival, so I'm going to have to skip that because I cannot miss the game. So, so I'm going to miss the high school game, sadly.
Yeah, that is the tough thing about playing on a Friday night, and I'm glad this is the only time. I really don't like to see college games on Friday night.
Jasher's wife taught the Smith twins, Bill, so maybe it's the same same neck of the woods. Our buddy Jasher Cox, he's known about the Smith twins for a while from the it's Selma, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
You got Southside right now?
Yeah, that's my high school.
Okay.
Oh yeah, those kids. And if they stick around, I hope they do. I think they're going to be a bright future for this Auburn team.
Nah, dude, I'll tell you what, Jeff. Going to see some of these practices, and it's just the reason we haven't talked about Duke Smith more is because there just doesn't seem to be opportunity this year.
Yeah, he's behind other guys that have been here and going through the workouts.
And I think there's a little bit of that with Omar too, because when Omar was excelling at the beginning of preseason, he was doing it with the other guys injured, and now they're healthy, and I wonder if it may take a year. But the fact is, a couple of years ago, like if Duke Smith had shown up Hugh Freeze's first year, I think he would have been a very big deal in that receiver room. Well, this year it's a little bit tougher for a freshman to break through.
Yeah. I think there's a chance you'll see him on special teams, though. Maybe even Friday. And then I've heard some good things about Eric. I think he has been a pleasant surprise. I think a lot of folks thought, he's just there because Duke's here. But I think folks have really liked what they've seen from him. He gives you a big target out there at receiver, too.
Not at all. If you watch this kid play last year, I'm going to tell you, he played as well as Duke did. I tell you, he really shined in the playoff. As you know, this team went all the way to the Final Four last year. They were a game away from the championship, and those two kids led the way.
Yeah, I think they've got bright futures. Again, it's great to have that situation, though, that Auburn has right now, where they have that kind of talent that isn't having to be out there and playing, right from the outset in game one.
Yep. All right, guys. 2 days. Kickoff.
Great hearing from you, Jeff.
Make it happen. All right, guys.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you as we head into the final half hour here on the Wednesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan heading out early tomorrow, right?
Yeah, looking. I mean, I guess tonight would be a more accurate description of when I'm leaving for.
When's your flight?
Well, I'm on the early flight out of the Atlanta airport.
Early?
How early?
I mean, you don't have to give me the exact time.
When's the first
pre-dawn?
When's the first flight out of Atlanta?
Usually around 6.
There you go. Yeah, I'm on the first flight out of Atlanta.
Yeah,
so I'm leaving early tomorrow morning for
tonight. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You do the math. You start doing the math.
You know, when you're leaving, before 4 o'clock or something tomorrow, that's night.
I probably need to leave before last call.
Yes.
I probably need to head out to the Atlanta airport.
Well, I thought you meant you did. Yeah, well, you need to leave the establishment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yes. But that's Yeah, for a variety of reasons, I'll need to leave before last call. But it's looking forward to it. I've never been to Waco. I got some friends who live out there. Gonna see a little
That's
bit.
Great to have a place.
Yeah,
and see, have a host.
See a little bit of the team.
Help you hit the highlights.
See a little bit of the town on Thursday, and then try to take in as much of the campus and the game on Friday. Looking forward to it. Should be a fun trip, and then obviously the game Friday night. Getting to see. I haven't been to a ton of, Auburn games in road stadiums over the last couple of years. I went to Georgia last year. I've been to a couple of Iron Bowls in Tuscaloosa, but it's for the most part, I just my obligations have kept me from traveling to see the team too often, and I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, you had the post game.
I had ATG and the Troy stuff. So it's going to be fun to go out and see this team take the show on the road.
Yeah, no kidding. It's odd that it is a Friday. We were talking with Jeff a little bit a bit ago about that. He's going to be missing his alma mater's high school matchup on Friday. That's the shame of the thing. But we are fortunate here locally. I think Auburn, Lee Scott, and Opelika all have Thursday games.
Yeah, it worked out okay for a lot of the schools in the area, and it worked out okay for us on Wings 94.3 as far as not having to move too much around as well. But high school football tomorrow night, and you can catch Auburn on Wings 94.3, and then Auburn and Baylor playing on Friday night. I know Coach Dunn hates Friday night college football because it forces those kind of problems and those kind of scheduling conflicts.
A lot of college coaches don't like that. It prevents you from being able to be at those games when you're scouting and recruiting some of those kids.
Yeah, right? I think it's become especially with the NFL moving into Thursday. It's just now TV networks view it. I think Fox and ESPN both view that block of programming on Friday night as an opportunity to show a college football game that might get lost in the shuffle on a Saturday. Fox, this is going to be the second year in a row now that Fox has shown, maybe even third. I forget when they canceled SmackDown and started showing Friday night football every Friday night during the college football. This might be the second year of it. Fox is, they're not slowing down with their belief that during the college football season, Friday night is should have a viable. You're gonna have a Big 12 game.
Well, because they can get, they're just more eyes.
Yep.
That'll watch that. They're not concerned with what it does to high school football.
And it's a game that would maybe get lost, on a deep slate of Saturday games, and you can move this game to where it has its individual spot. But I understand the purists who want Friday night to be for high school football. And I think your point about coaches although now you've got teams that you've got programs that are so big, I wonder how much the coaches are the ones who actually need to go out there, all the time on the road.
You're right.
Especially when your team's playing on a Friday night, you
have much bigger staff.
You can send the GM and the personnel department, to make that trip. But it's
your talent scout.
Exactly. You can send the scouting department. But Friday night, Auburn hasn't played a Friday night game in a very long time, right? Like it's been.
The only time I can think of would have been the Thanksgiving Fridays.
It's been
that's been a while.
It's been a long time. So,
yeah, get started. Tomorrow night you've got you already had an upset pick by Jake Crane yesterday on the show. He's picking South Florida to knock off Boise tomorrow night.
The Byron Brown South Florida hype is very real. I think Boise is.
Well, that's tomorrow afternoon.
Boise is
that's
seen
tomorrow afternoon, a 4:30 start.
Yeah, Boise I think is seen by a lot of people as the best mid major coming into the season. Certainly on the short list of the top mid major programs, and with a spot for the fifth conference champion. Like these are two teams that this game could matter in the playoff hunt. At the end of the season, the winner of this game could be, especially if these two teams both have really strong seasons in conference, the fact that one of them holds a head-to-head victory over the other could be really important. These seem like maybe two of the five or six likeliest non-major conference playoff team this year. Like, I would say these are probably two of your better teams for that spot. And the fact that one of them's going to have a head-to-head win over the other, you know, could be pretty important if this thing comes down to a beauty pageant.
Remember just a few years ago when it looked like South Florida had a chance to be that next big school from the state of Florida. I guess that was back in the days of Jim Leavitt, who has not been in the news for good stuff. But I mean, the Bulls have a chance to be pretty good. Why are they playing at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon?
Television.
4:30.
I would
in
think
Tampa.
That, yeah, tomorrow. I mean, I'm thinking that it's an opportunity to have unopposed.
It's on ESPN.
That's your answer right there, because ESPN's got another game that night, don't
I'm
they?
I'm just thinking though. I mean, I guess, you know, it's not one of those where they were gonna. I guess they weren't gonna have a sold out stadium anyway. But it's got to be hard. I mean, I guess it's 5:30 in Tampa, but still, that's an odd time on a Thursday.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, does ESPN have something else tomorrow night after after Boise, South Florida?
Because I don't see anything.
I thought there was maybe. Wise, yeah, maybe. I thought there was maybe a doubleheader. Maybe they got
Nebraska Cincinnati.
Okay.
Nebraska Cincinnati is tomorrow night. That is the second game. They've got a doubleheader on ESPN. That's another pretty good ball game.
Yeah, and that's probably your answer right there as to why Boise and South Florida are playing at 4:30. It's so ESPN can have two games on that first Thursday of the college football season.
Man, there's some teams in the state. Alabama State's at UAB. Jack State is at UCF.
Yeah.
Also tomorrow. So, I mean, man, there are a lot of ball games. A lot of ball games on Thursday.
Missouri, you know, kicking off their season tomorrow night.
That's
Central Arkansas, that's on like the SEC. Is that on SEC Network Plus?
That's SEC. Regular SEC Network.
Oh, that's regular SEC Network. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, so Missouri's gotten – and that wild Missouri schedule with five straight at home,
Six straight to open the season.
Yeah, six straight home games.
First road games at Auburn.
Six straight home games and then the trip to Auburn. So they'll kick that off tomorrow with Central Arkansas.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot going on.
I think they're still gonna. Thursday. I think they're gonna use that game because they've got Kansas next week. They're gonna use the Central Arkansas game to audition both quarterbacks. I don't think
sense.
I don't think Eli's made a decision yet about exactly who it's gonna be. One of them is the guy who got drafted in the baseball draft. Sam Horn.
Yeah.
Is the you know a lot of folks thought he might just call it a career in football and pursue baseball, but he's been in the mix, and there's a Penn State transfer as well, and it sounds like it's pretty close to neck and neck at Missouri, and so we'll see what they we'll see what they do at quarterback, but they probably need to make that decision before it's Bo Perbula is the Penn State transfer, and they probably need to make a decision about what they're going to do there before you get into major conference opponents like Kansas a week from now. And then, you know, they start playing SEC games a couple weeks after that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a situation where you prefer having a game like that as your first game, when you don't know who your guy is at quarterback.
Yeah, it would probably be more urgent if they were playing Kansas on Saturday as far as knowing who it was going to be.
They'd have a starter named, you know, by now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, they got Louisiana coming in a week after Kansas, which is not always the most fun Sun Belt or non-major conference team to face, and then they open conference play with South Carolina. So I mean, you've got some big early tests for Eli. That's a look. People would be surprised.
Man, their schedule's a little tougher than I thought because a couple of weeks later they've got Bama. Right?
They've got Bama.
They come to Auburn.
That's right. They play South Carolina and Alabama before October 11th.
Wow.
Both at home, and then they've got Auburn a week after that. So I mean, they've got that's a Missouri team, as we've mentioned. Quietly, they've won.
They've gotten used to winning double-digit games.
I mean, quietly, 2+10-win seasons and winning records in conference two years in a row, and they've got some big tests early. I mean, South Carolina, Alabama, and at Auburn as your first three SEC games,
three conference games
this year. That's
tough.
Yeah, that's a tough draw, and we'll see what they look like when they come to Auburn.
Yep. All right, we'll get to our final break. Again, still plenty of time for you to join us. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 as we wind it down here on the Wednesday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday afternoon. Our final segment with Dan here in town. We'll try to check in at some point tomorrow, and then maybe in the pregame on Friday. But Dan, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, for all the reservations and the concerns that we'd been hearing this week, at least from our callers, but a pretty confident bunch of callers we've had.
Yeah, I think there's optimism among folks, and I keep pointing that back to, I keep tracing that to Auburn having steadily improved the roster. Like, even though you could say the same thing about last year's team having improved from year one, didn't materialize on the field, I still think ultimately, you know, you know, talent wins, and this is more like as important as scheme. Unquestionably, scheme plays a role, development plays a role, but getting the better players to play on your roster is such a huge part of the job as a college football coach.
Oh yeah, no question.
I think Hugh Freeze has done to this point a really good job of assembling a roster that gives him a chance, seemingly in every single game this year.
And I would say that when you compare, when you're looking at, yes, the roster improved from year one to year two, but in year two, you had to have first year players, including a lot of freshmen, contributing immediately. The ability to retain those players, and now those players who improved the roster, made it more talented last year, coming back and having a year under their belts, and you add in more talent and not as many of those players. Now, on offense, you're going to see some new faces. But on defense, you've added so much more depth and talent. You have more returning talent, I think, to work with this year than you did a year ago. And you've still upgraded the roster top to bottom.
And a lot of the talent you were excited about last year was new.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think there were, and honestly, mistake prone at times. I think that for all the talk of interceptions, not all of them were 100% on the quarterback, right? There were times when a good ball wasn't caught or a route wasn't necessary. I mean,
absolutely.
Miscommunication as far as where the receiver was supposed
hesitation
to be.
Hesitation because of one or the other.
Yeah.
And we didn't always know where, but the obvious place to look is, well, where the ball is, and that's in the quarterback's hands.
So I think that, all, you know, it's not just that you've brought in some guys you're excited about, including some true freshmen who could play. It's also that some of those guys that were in their first or even second year in college football last year could continue to improve. I think that it's almost – we probably didn't, especially now that the offseason's just about over. It's like – the impact that the season Cam Coleman could have this year. Like, maybe we haven't talked about it enough. Like, this could be the biggest. I mean, what's the biggest season by an Auburn receiver in? I mean, Ryan has the receptions record from a couple years ago. Ryan Davis in 2017, I think, broke the.
Auburn's had what, 2,000 yard receivers ever? Is it two or three?
I think the expectations for Cam Coleman, like, you want to be careful saying, oh, well, this guy could have one of, if not the best season at his position in program history. I think Cam Coleman, absolutely, like that feels within reach this year for him.
And something that doesn't get mentioned nearly as much as it does with certain other players at other schools. Cam Coleman was one of the younger freshmen in college football a year ago, and so he is still a young player who is heading into his second year, and that is I've said this I don't know how many times because. It's generally the fact that step from year one to year two is usually the biggest jump that you're going to see players. And Auburn's got so many guys who played so well as true freshmen a year ago. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to be exponentially better this year, but they all know what they're doing much more than they did a year ago. And so they can therefore not be thinking they're playing. They're able to just get out there and go faster than they could a year ago.
Yeah, love a guy. I mean, in fantasy football, like love a second year NFL player who had a promising rookie season. You know, in college, you know, love a true sophomore that got on the field and impressed as a freshman. And for Auburn, you've got several of those guys on both sides of the ball. Jay Crawford has seemingly had a really impressive preseason camp, even with the late talk of Pleasant and Strader. Like, what's as much as
I think the gap between Jay Crawford and Rayon Strader is larger than the gap between Kay and Lee and Rayshon Pleasant.
But I think in general, like as much as we've talked about defensive back, it's almost been Auburn's had two guys as the number one and number two, or the number ones on each side of the field, however you want to look at it. Like Kane and Jay they feel very good about what they've got at corner one and corner two. And then it's just a matter of what else, you know, Sylvester and Champ and Caleb and the freshman. And I mean, Eric Winters is probably
Eric Winters. You know, we heard early on, it was all the expectations of Newboy, and Newboy's going to play, but Eric Winters is really pushing. He is really pushing there at one of the safety spots.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm thinking this is a, you know, this is, I don't know, I can't shake the feeling it's a close game. Like maybe it's just the fact that Auburn's on the road and that you didn't see Auburn paste that many opponents last year either. Like I'm thinking this is a game that and Baylor, because of the offensive firepower they showed last year, like I think that even if Auburn were to jump out to a lead, you're not feeling like the game's over because Baylor's got some weapons offensively. So I'm thinking it's a one score game in the fourth quarter, and I think Auburn turns away Baylor late to win the game.
Dan's got a feeling of a late defensive stand. I don't know exactly how I get there. I've got a feeling Auburn. I feel Auburn wins. They cover. But I'm not as confident that it's going to be a blowout like a lot of the Auburn fans. I'd love to see it, and I could see it happening, but I still think for game one, I'm thinking somewhere in the 7 to 10 point range is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it would be I think if it's a close game, you probably don't want to overreact one way or the other.
That's a pretty good team.
If Auburn looks sharp, ooh, it could be game on this year, Bill.
Yep, looking forward to it. We're getting closer. Hey, have a safe early trip, and if you're awake, we'll catch up with you tomorrow afternoon sometime.
Start me up. I will talk to you guys again very soon.
All right, tomorrow, Coach Don Dunn will be in. We'll see if we can check in with Dan. We're going to check in with Justin Ferguson, who will also – he'll be in Waco tomorrow while we're on the air. So we'll have that, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, as well. But we're out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.
Your Auburn football game day destination.